Good morning and a warm welcome to you all. We're pleased today to welcome back once again the Reverend Ian Murray. Many spoke very appreciatively of his Remembrance Sunday service last week, and we look forward to what he has to say to us today. We have our usual chat sessions this week, immediately after this service, and again on Wednesday evening, and we hope that you'll be able to join us for one or both of these. Details will be on screen and emailed as usual. Thanks to all who returned Christian Aid Seek boxes over the past couple of weeks. These raised £365, which Sheila Silvestri has now sent off to Christian Aid. Also this week, Blythewood collected 72 shoeboxes from the thrift shop as Salu's contribution to this year's Christmas shoebox appeal. It's good to know that these will bring some happiness to families in Eastern Europe at what is going to be a challenging Christmas. We're all now looking forward to next Sunday when the Reverend Dr. Breda Ludic will be preaching as sole nominee for our vacant charge. The service will be coming from Liberton Northfield Church in Edinburgh and live streamed from there on their Facebook page. Full details of how to access this are being distributed to all our members, along with information about the vote that will follow the service. Some of you may already have received this. If not, your elder or visitor will get it to you within the next few days. Access details for next Sunday's service will also be posted on our website and Facebook pages. When we have our 1 o'clock prayer time this coming Wednesday, let's pray for Breda Ludic as he prepares to preach for us next week, and pray for him too and for ourselves in the years ahead when, God willing, he will be our new minister.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to our worship at St Andrew's Church, Lunbride, and also Urquhart Parish Church. It's very good to be back with you again. This week I'm back indoors. I'd planned on recording my service up in the Cabrach. You'll see why I plan to be in the Cabrach in a moment or two when we get into the sermon. But by the time I got up there, it was beginning to get dark. So I turned around and I've come back home and I'm recording this from Elgin. But it's very good to have you here with us this morning. I'm enjoying my time with you. Next week, I won't be with you as I think your sole nominee shall be preaching. And thereafter, I'll be with you for the rest of November. And I think also through the first middle of December. So our call to worship this morning comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And it's the familiar words, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." And we're going to begin our worship. Words from Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for God." It's the words have been written by John Bell, and the tune is "The Bays of Harris."
To me.
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of all time and space, you were with your people of old, you are with us now. You have promised to be with us until the end of time. We give you thanks that in your presence we are not alone. Your love has held us from seed to adulthood. Your grace has infiltrated our lives, never letting us go. And your hope leads us on, encouraging us to find you in everything new and ever surprising ways. We confess, Lord, as we come before you in prayer, that there are times when we lose faith and our trust is thin. There are times when we are impatient, when we are ungrateful and angry. There doesn't seem to be a clear plan at times in our lives. Our ideas come unstuck, and we question if there's any purpose to anything. So as we come before you in this time of worship, remind us of your promises, that you never leave or forsake us, and help us to trust that you will be with us until the end of time. Teach us again, by the power of your love, that we are forgiven and are called to forgive others in the same way. So be with us in our worship. Remain with us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who taught us to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our reading this morning is read by Andrew Savory.
Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was around 12 or 13 years old, some of my friends and I, we jumped on our bikes one day and cycled into the Cabrach, a pretty desolate but a beautiful and fascinating area which lies between Dufftown, where I grew up, and Rhynie, up into Aberdeenshire. As kids, we were always exploring abandoned houses, and there was plenty of them in the Cabrach. From the old shooting lodges, Glenfiddich Lodge and Blackwater Lodge, wonderful old buildings that had been abandoned in the early 1970s, nestled way deep into the hills, to the small abandoned crofts which looked as if the last occupant had upped and away, leaving everything behind, and there it was in tatters and rust and ruin 50 years later. On this one particular trip, when we cycled from Dufftown up into the Cabrach, there was great excitement when we discovered a sinkhole in the peat bog. It was the middle of summer and the ground was dry. And there was an underground cavern. An underground stream had created this deep tunnel into the peat. And where part of it had collapsed and left a great big gaping hole, we were able to climb in and crawl along on our bellies. Armed with our bicycle lamps, apart from my friend James, because he had a dynamo set, but the rest of us had lamps, and we were able to find our way through this small tunnel into the peat bog. It was dark, it was smelly, it was muddy, and I remember very clearly just how quiet it was, eerily quiet, underground in this tunnel, crawling along on our bellies, as if we were part of the Great Escape, the movie from the Second World War. It was a new world, a completely different world. We didn't know if we were 6 foot under or 50 foot underground. We might just have been 1 foot below the surface, but it felt dangerous, it felt risky. One of my friends, Andrew, he obviously realised, as we were in the depths of this tunnel, just as we'd reached a really tight area where our arms were glued to our sides as we moved along on our elbows, he went into panic mode. And he started to shout and yell, and he couldn't get his arms out, and he kicked his feet to the extent that he almost passed out. He was in such a panic. We pulled him out by the legs. Whoever was behind pulled him out and dragged him back to a point in the tunnel where we were able to twist our bodies round and climb out head front. I don't remember how we managed to calm him down, but he was in a terrible state by the time we got out of that tunnel. Once home, down out of the Cabrach, back into Dufftown, all covered in mud from head to toe, I had the pedals confiscated from my bike. My parents were furious that we had been so stupid, and we heard all the ifs. What if, what if, what if? And I'm sure you can imagine. But these were the sorts of things that we got up to growing up in Dufftown and Aberlour in the 1970s and the early 80s, climbing 30-foot trees, scaling the inside of an old brick chimney at one of the distilleries, sailing a homemade dinghy down the River Spey whilst it was in spate when we should have been at school. We got ourselves into all sorts of situations, some difficult, some unnerving, but with grazed knees and the occasional broken bone, you might say that it was character building, and we certainly learned to overcome our fears. We risked it, and we made it. In today's parable, only two of the servants would have come out of that peat bog. This third servant would still be there, sitting in a muddy hole, gripping onto his talent. In the first century, this talent, this form of currency, it's believed that it was such a huge amount of money. Some scholars believe that it was 15 or 20 years' salary for a manual working man. But the amount is, to some extent, unimportant. But just think of the significance of that. Think of your own annual income, your own annual salary, and add a zero to it. And that's the amount of money, which doesn't belong to you, remember. It's in your care and keeping. You would certainly edge on the side of caution. The third servant simply waits for the master to come back so that he can return what was given to him, saying, "Here you go, it's all there, every penny accounted for, just as you left it." But the prudent decision of the servant is not rewarded. The first two servants had invested their sums, 5 and 2 respectively, and each doubled their amount. They are rewarded and they're given additional responsibilities. Then the master turns to the third servant, who offers explanations and notes that he was afraid to do anything but hide what had been given him in the ground. And the result isn't pretty. The master is harsh, calling the servant lazy, saying that he could have at least put it in a basic interest account. And then he's punished. He's banished into darkness, where there's a weeping and a grinding of teeth. It's one of the harshest treatments of anyone in the Bible. It's a hard story to swallow. It's not like the third servant squandered the money on reckless living. He simply maintained what was there, a reasonable and safe thing to do. And it seems to be the heart of one issue Jesus is trying to teach us in the parable. That seems to be at the heart of the issue. The point is not about doubling your money or accumulating wealth. It's about living. It's about investing. It's about taking risks. And the greatest risk of all, it turns out, is not to risk anything. Not to care deeply and profoundly enough about anything to invest deeply. To give your heart away, and in the process of risking everything, the greatest risk of all, it turns out, is to play it safe. To live cautiously and prudently. With Remembrance Sunday just past, Every year I remember the German pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He certainly didn't live his life carefully or prudently. During the Second World War, he was an anti-Nazi dissident who vocally opposed Adolf Hitler and his genocidal persecution of the Jews, his regime. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was arrested in April 1943 and hanged in Flossenbürg concentration camp on the 9th of April 1945. He risked and lost his life in standing up for what he believed, his faith. Or Martin Luther King, when he wrote from the Birmingham jail in Alabama, lamenting and calling out those who, like the third servant, did nothing. He wrote these words: "I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's greatest stumbling block in his stride towards freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klan, but the white moderate, who is more devoted to order than justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice." It's the middle ground. The ground of inaction and passivity. The peace and safety at any cost, which was the downfall of the third servant. And it's there in our daily lives. Fear overtakes our desire and our ability to do the things that we know are good and right. We don't want to create waves. Or we seek peace at any cost, failing to deal with the real issues which cause conflict and disagreement. Or maybe we're tired and lethargic and just lack commitment and vision. And we'll just stick to what we've got. It's easier to stick with what we've got. The parable inspires us to choose another way, to stare fear in the face and stand on the side of Christ, to be bold enough to take a stand in the face of what tries to render us helpless and say, "Not today," to enthuse and be active and commit to the future. It's interesting that one of the core values of the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America says, "The church is to be a community of faith, entrusting itself to God alone, even at the risk of losing its life." As people of faith, we are called to take risks, not to dig holes. And this is one of the greatest callings as those who follow Jesus and anticipate his return: to live into the kingdom of heaven. These parables and how they call us to be ready and to present ourselves to God, not as maintainers, not as curators of the bare minimum, but as faithful investors who lived fully into the lives that God has given us, to rise to the calling upon our lives. I'm going to finish with a short poem by a poet called Maureen Williamson, and she says, "We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in every one. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." Amen. And now our prayers of intercession.
In a week where the news has been mixed, rising COVID rates and a grim milestone in death rate from COVID reached, increasing lockdown restrictions, increasing pressures on business, concern regarding winter pressures on the NHS, lack of integrity in politics, whether it be Scottish, UK, in America or other countries, evidence of global warming as seen in the flooding in Crete and the 2020 hurricane season, the most active yet, beheadings in Mozambique, civilian atrocities in Ethiopia, and yet the good news of a possibility of a vaccine becoming more of a reality against COVID. We can be overwhelmed, and so we come to you, God, weary and troubled, bringing before you the concerns of our hearts for your world and the people you ask us to pray for. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. And so we offer you now our prayers, uniting our voices with each other and with Christ, who promises to make perfect our prayers. We give thanks that we can come before you as a fellowship of your people here in Moray, joining our voices not only with those locally, but also nationally and across the world. As we have listed some of the concerns making the news this week before you, help us not to be overwhelmed with despair and sadness. May we see instead your hand at work and know that you are God. We pray for a world that you would instill in us, all of us, the need to care for our planet, increasing our awareness of its beauty and fragility, and guide those in positions of power to make decisions which will help sustain rather than deplete resources. May we also examine what we can do on an individual basis to care for our environment. We pray for the peoples of the world that may enjoy justice, whether they poor or rich. We pray that those who use violence and terror to bring about their desires, and those who then so readily seek revenge following acts of terrorism, may instead pursue all that makes for peace. We pray for all the leaders of the world that they may find ways of working together for peace and prosperity for all, and that integrity and truth will prevail at the expense of fake news and cyber attacks. May we also examine what we can do on an individual basis to work for justice and peace in our community. We pray that our leaders will find a way through Brexit. May the discussions with all those with invested interests be aware of the need for the common good and work towards achieving that. We give thanks that a vaccine for COVID is becoming a reality. We pray for the logistics in taking it from bench to bedside, from the lab to the people. We pray for its safety and that it will be accessible to the world, not just the richest countries. We pray for all those in the front line fighting this pandemic and seek your wisdom on how to mitigate its consequences physically, mentally, financially, socially, both in the short term and in the long term. We pray for those people who are suffering either from their own mistakes or from the mistakes of others. For children separated from one parent and cut off from grandparents. For parents who see their children for only part of the week. For families who have many problems and lack hope. For husbands and wives who no longer find joy in each other. For families who face death, illness or disablement and feel they cannot cope. For the unemployed who feel hopeless and unwanted. For the homeless who also feel hopeless and unwanted. For people who are trapped in addiction and abusive relationships. In the silence of our hearts, we also pray for all those known to us who are ill, troubled or bereaved, affected by domestic abuse, mental health issues, loneliness, financial burdens, delayed medical treatments and diagnosis. May they receive your comfort and the strength of knowing your presence. And Lord God, we also ask you to bless those who devote themselves to caring for others. May they also receive your comfort and strength. We pray for the arrangements for next Sunday as Breda Ludic preaches as sole nominee. We pray for the technology to make this possible work and that everyone will be able to access the service who wishes to. We pray for your church in this and every land, in an age where our credibility is challenged. Bring to an end our divisions, increase our courage, strengthen our faith, and inspire her witness to all people, loving both neighbour and enemy. We pray for the participatory budgeting and Salyu's role in making this happen. We pray that as a church we can faithfully serve this community you have placed us in. Open our eyes and equip us to find ways to be active. And yes, even to take risks if required, not being maintainers or curators, but investors with the gifts you have given us. All these prayers we make in the name of our Saviour and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is the hymn In Christ Alone.
Storm. What heights of love, what depths.
May I say thank you once again to everyone for tuning in. It's been great, as always, to have you all joined together in worship, albeit distantly, but this is such an important way of maintaining fellowship and being part of the church family, the church community. You won't see me next Sunday, but you will certainly see me the Sunday following. So God bless everyone, and we close with the blessing. Our blessing says, you are not alone. Go into the world surrounded by God's love, supported by God's people, and strengthened by the knowledge that God's Holy Spirit is with us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you remember this day and always. Amen.